May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The youth confirmation class lately has been talking about belief. And so we did a thought experiment about Andorra, which is a word you might know. A couple of people knew it was the name of a country, but many hadn't heard of it, and none of us had been there. So the question was, how can we know if this place is real, or if it's imaginary, like Narnia or Middle Earth? So we talked about what resources would you use to figure this out. And somebody said, Google it, which is a good answer. If you know a little bit and can sift through what you find on the internet to figure out what is really true. And somebody suggested a map, although you can also find maps of Narnia, which unfortunately doesn't make it a real place. And there were a lot of good ideas. You could read about Andorra in books. You could ask people who have been there or say they've been there. You could look up flights and try to figure out how you could get there someday. But in the end, the only real way to know absolutely for sure that a place is real is to go there yourself. And until you do that, there's a point beyond which you just have to take it on faith. So the next question was, you have all these resources available to you to tell fact apart from fantasy. So how can you use them to decide whether God is real or whether Jesus is truly the Son of God, as he said? So you can Google it. You can read books and find out what other people have had to say. You can look for your friends or your family who are believers and ask them why they believe. You can read the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, which is a pretty good proxy for asking people who have been there. But confirming the existence of God is a little harder than confirming the existence of Andorra, because you can't get on a plane and go there. We have to wait for the next life to meet Jesus face to face. And yet it remains true for most of us that the most powerful case for belief not comes from what we know, but from our personal experience. I know a lot of things about the Christian story, but what I want is to feel God's presence in my life. That's why I learned all those things. That's the goal. And yet there's always a point beyond which you just have to take it on faith. So today we learn about Thomas the twin, who is better known as what? Right, Doubting Thomas. So Doubting Thomas is always the gospel for the Sunday after Easter, maybe because even people of profound faith can have a hard time with the idea of the resurrection of the dead. And Thomas is an interesting character because he's not an agnostic at all. He's an apostle. He gave up everything to follow Jesus. He left his family and his livelihood like all the others did. So he knows the stories and he's heard the teachings. And he's met Jesus personally. He's been there. And still he says to the other apostles, I know the prophecies. I know what he said. It's in my head. But I can't believe with my head, Thomas says, this thing that you're telling me, because it strains the limits of credibility. Who could believe this just by knowing it? To believe in the resurrection, I need to feel it. And in this story, that, in this case, literally, is what Jesus allows him to do. And so often, Thomas is the model for Christians who experience doubt. But he has limits on his model, right? Because we can't confirm our faith in the way that he did. He's like an inspiring example of somebody who did get on a plane and fly to a place you've never been when you can't buy a plane ticket. But I wonder if he could be a different kind of model for us and help us think about belief in another way. The more time I spend as a practicing Christian, the more I think about belief the same way I think about love. And when I think about the emotions I associate with love, I think of happiness and affection and pride and joy. So think about the person you love most in the world, whoever that might be. And these are dangerous waters, but I'm going to venture. You do not actually feel boundless affection for that person 100% of the time. You may even occasionally feel irritated with that person or disappointed in that person or resentful of that person. You may have moments where you think about all of the effort you have put into that relationship and you know it's probably worth it, but you have little flickers of wondering. And yet none of that means that you love them any less. Because love is a state of relationship, not a state of mind. It's a commitment characterized by what we do, by our actions. Not by our feelings, because feelings come and go all the time. If we count on our feelings, it's too easy to give up. But something happens with love if you keep on doing the actions. If you practice the caretaking and the forgiveness and the showing up, often the feelings follow. Or they come back stronger than before. And belief, I think, can work the same way. You may have times in your life of faith where you sit in church and you feel nothing much. You may have times of anger at God, times of doubt, times of despair. And yet I would say none of that means necessarily that you believe in God any less. Because think of Thomas. I have to imagine in the days after the crucifixion, he felt all of those things. But even in his despair and his hopelessness and his anger at the way things had turned out, he found it in himself to stick with the other disciples. Even at a time when they were so endangered because of their commitment to Jesus that they had to lock themselves inside the house. Even with his doubts, he stayed in the community. Even in his anger, he kept on praying and breaking the bread. Because belief is a state of relationship and not a state of mind. It's a commitment to God characterized by our actions, not by our feelings. Feelings always come and go. But if you keep on with the actions, if you choose to be like Thomas and stick with the fellowship and the prayer and the breaking of bread, some amazing things can start to happen. You may find that the feelings will follow, or that if they've been gone, they come back stronger than before. That just like the disciplines of love, the disciplines of belief can transform your heart and make it a place that is ready to receive the experience of the living God. Lent can be a long and hard season, but most of us intuitively understand Lent. We understand discipline and we understand waiting. It can be harder to get our heads around the season of Easter. Resurrection is so big a concept, and our capacity to understand it is so small. It strains the limits of belief. But I would say it's worth living with that strain and taking a chance on believing. Thomas would tell us it's worth it in the end, after all. Amen.